Well, it's good to see everyone here tonight, and I encourage you, if you have a copy of God's Word, to turn to Genesis chapter 43. Genesis 43. Missed you all on the Lord's Day. Not so sure whether you missed me or not. Not asked for any response there. I'm sure you enjoyed the snow. I was thinking about how it always seems to happen on the Lord's Day. I'm seeing that pattern even after just 3 years of being here. It always seems to hit on the Lord's Day. And I thought to myself, well, maybe it was an extra kind of Lord's Day of rest for the preachers in Greenville in time past. You know, they labor hard, and every Lord's Day they have to go up and bring the Word, and the Lord just gives them a gift where they don't have to. Of course, then modern technology comes around, and you still have to do something. Of course, I had someone to preach for me, so I can't complain. But I still got up wondering how I was going to webcast and trying to figure that out. It's been so long since we did that, but we were thankful to get something out to the homes that I trust was edifying to you all, and that you stayed safe coming again on Friday, I hear. So I trust that we all are kept safe amidst the snow. It is an adjustment, of course. Whenever your experience of snow is from the northern climes, let's say, and you're used to how they deal with things and navigate things, and then Greenville says, snow's coming, shut everything down. Doesn't matter, just shut it down anyway. It may not come, but let's shut it down just in case. Certainly different. I think I've told the story before, but some of you are new enough that you may not have heard this. The first Lord's Day of 2018, we were still in Calgary, and the temperatures were the lowest I had ever seen. It had reached 40 below centigrade, which is where Fahrenheit and centigrade kind of converge, so it's 40 below Fahrenheit as well, thereabouts. That's without wind chill, that's before wind chill. And so it's the Lord's Day, and off we go to church anyway. And the next day, I'm looking at the newspaper, or seeing the headlines, and the Calgary Zoo wouldn't let the penguins out. It was so cold on the Lord's Day. And I thought, well, if the penguins aren't allowed outside, what are we doing outside? Maybe I miscalled that one, but that was memorable, thinking about that. Yeah, memories. It's cold, I tell you. That temperature, 2 minutes, and you're feeling your nostril hairs freezing, and the hair around, especially women, starts to frost over within about 2 or 3 minutes. It's very, very cold, so can be dangerous. Anyway, it's not that bad. This has been a warm snow, comparatively, and we're thankful that it comes and it goes swiftly. Genesis 43. Genesis chapter 43. I brought some thoughts from this already in another context. I wanted to share it with you at the prayer meeting here tonight. Genesis 43. We'll take time to read from verse 1. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him, of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame for ever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And the father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again on to the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray to the Lord for his blessing tonight, beloved, not just upon the word, but also our season of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful to come before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the one that makes all the difference tonight. What an awful feeling it would be to stand before Almighty God and have no mediator, have no one to plead our cause, no one to bring us nigh. Therefore, no matter how we feel, no matter what we are dealing with tonight, there is much to encourage us as we remember, Lord, that we are thy people. We belong to thee. We are forever thine. And we pray, God, that thou wilt help us to truly come tonight knowing that we are the children of God. We are children. We are bought with a price. We are assured that the blood has prevailed for our cause. And so heaven is opened. The invitation is there to come and ask, seek and knock. And we're here to pray. And to help us to pray aright, we ask thy word would be everything we need it to be. There are many that need our prayers. God, we ask you'll help us to intercede for them tonight. Be with all that are watching at home, and especially those recovering from sickness, and grant that you will come. Wash us from our sins, Lord. Cleanse us from all the hindrances of the heart and life. Deepen our repentance and teach us to pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In a time of great wealth and riches, we have a tendency to undervalue the ordinary. We don't appreciate that which we have. And that's, I think, something we all battle with on an ongoing basis. Familiarity breeds contempt. It is reflected so often in our own homes, where we begin to not truly appreciate our spouses, our children, our parents, siblings, start to undervalue how important they really are and how much they mean to us. Sharp word, inconsiderate thought, lack of compassion and kindness is far too frequent, and part of that is this sense that we forget that these people really do matter to us. And children, of course, you'd struggle with this, just like your parents do. Your children, if you listen just for a minute, you struggle to really appreciate things, just as you will continue through your life. For example, you probably don't get excited about school every day, right? Certainly mine are laughing because they know the truth of those words. You don't get excited about school every day. It's not like Latin, math, science, whatever. There's some subjects that seem to instill excitement in some of our kids, the ones that they enjoy, but they're certainly sufficient that they don't revel in. And so we don't appreciate them. But I want you children to think about it. I want you to imagine for a moment that learning is banned. All learning is banned. You can't learn anything. Access to information, access to subjects, doesn't matter whether it's math or grammar or science or computers or anything, all of it, all the stuff you like to read about countries and things you like to look at in terms of seeing the elevation of lands and all those other things you maybe spend time looking at, subjects that you do like or enjoy. Imagine it was all just that. For 5 years, no learning. Nothing. No learning at all. 5 years. You might not be able to imagine this, but I hazard a guess that after a while you would be really kind of upset that there's no opportunity to learn. I want to learn, but why? I want to learn so much. And it's all banned. And then after 5 years, it comes back. You're allowed. All this stuff, or maybe even before it's up, people start giving you pieces, like one sheet of information about some subject. One little piece, and it's there, and it's shared with you, and you're able to read it and study it, and you would enjoy it. One poem that you could learn and read and memorize, one story to rehearse and read over. You would value that. You'd read over it and over it and over it, and it would be so exciting. You would appreciate it in a way that you present do not. Well, this is a problem, trying to value the things that we have every day. And adults are no different. We are exactly the same. And you think about even aspects, spiritual life, I can apply it in all sorts of areas. And you think about our work sometimes we complain about our jobs and our responsibilities, the things we have to do, the people we have to deal with. You know, why do they have to do it that way? Why do I have to say it in that? You know, why is this necessary? Do we really need to have a meeting? You know, these are all these things. But imagine then you don't have work. All of a sudden those trials, those difficulties, those things that cause upset, you, after a while of not having work, you put up with it a whole lot more. That's the same, again, it's the same with the church. Here we are here on a Wednesday night. Good turnout, given how much sickness there is and the snow and everything else that's going on. Thankful to see you all here. But, you know, imagine there having no prayer meeting for 5 years. Not allowed to meet. Same with other aspects. Imagine Sabbath school. I mean, some people get up in the Sunday morning and it's maybe not. You know, I can't be bothered this morning. It's not. But if it wasn't there, if it wasn't there for a year or 2 years, you've never heard that there was a Westminster Confession. You didn't know it was so easily accessible. And there's a man there reading through it with you, and he's explaining it to you. And you'd never heard these doctrines put in such terse and clear language. You would do this is great. You would never miss a moment. You'd be there early to make sure you didn't miss anything. We undervalue what we have until there's a famine. Until it's not there anymore. Until you wish you had it, but there's no access to it. And then you begin to realize the awful reality that you undervalued what God had given when He had given it. And now it's been taken from you. And you lament the loss. So, this is the way we are. And I was thinking about this when reading through this portion a number of weeks ago now, in Genesis 43, verse 11, where we have this language, "Their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this, take of the best fruits in the land, in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels." So tonight, I've used these words for our meditation, the best fruits. The best fruits. They had access to certain things. You have some of them listed here. There were probably others. Best fruits of the land. Things that certainly had value. Things that people would enjoy. Delicacies. But not sufficient to sustain life in an ongoing way. Not sufficient. They need the corn. It's the plain old corn, the bread corn. When the famine wasn't there, when the bread corn was in abundance, no one was looking for it. It was just, it's there. It's in supply. There's plenty of it. And you enjoy all the other things. All the delicacies are appreciated and they're valued and you enjoy them. And you kind of overlook the significance of the bread corn. But they learned, Israel and his family, they learned, do not ever again undervalue the ordinary things that are easy to take for granted. So let us think about this very simply as we come to pray tonight. First, the ordinary is saving. The ordinary is saving. Go back to Genesis 41, verse 57. Genesis 41, the last verse. All countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. They're able to grow some things. Some things are still productive. Some things still can be grown. But the famine is affecting corn, which is the staple. They need a supply of corn to really survive. Chapter 42, verse 2. And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us and thence that we may live and not die. There's the significance of it. The almonds and so on are not sufficient to survive. They need the corn. You have it again in what we read in verse 8 of chapter 43. Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. We need the corn. The ordinary is saving. We are drawn to exciting things. We love the exciting. We love the novel. We appreciate the novel. And there's a place for it. There is a place for it. We don't despise Thanksgiving and Christmas and birthdays and the novelty of those events and how we bring all sorts of special things and delicacies into play when we have those events. And we remember them. Our memories are so wired that we, because of the emotion involved and the distinction of it, we remember. We can remember, like you could say, I know where I was, Thanksgiving, 2015, 2005. You just have to sort of stop for a minute and think about it, whatever. And then as you think about where you were and who you're with, then you think, oh, that's the time whenever we didn't have turkey that year. We had something else. And you know, especially remember it. And we value it, of course. But it is not those special events that keep us alive from day to day. It is the bread corn. It's the stuff you forget. You know, it's sausages and potatoes. That's it. There. That's what you're getting tonight. And tomorrow it's noodles and I don't know what. And whatever. You know, you have these very plain staples. And if I ask you to remember what you ate, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, if it was just on an ordinary weekday after you came home from work, you would struggle. I have no idea. I don't know. And you don't really value it. That's the point. You know, the Thanksgiving meal comes out, the Christmas meal comes out, the birthday celebrations are done, and you're like, thank you so much, Mom. This is great. But the potatoes and the rice and the chicken and all of that, you know, it's kind of ignored. You sometimes forget even to say thank you. And yet that is saving. The boring keeps you alive. So it is spiritually. We imagine we need special things to see people converted. We need an extraordinary preacher. We need an unusual circumstance to see someone converted. But look at your own life. What was unusual about your conversion? The person that was the primary instrument. Mom, Dad, are they unusual? They're just their mom and dad. And what were they doing? They're putting the Bible before you daily or certainly regularly. The Sabbath school teacher, were they ordinary? Were they, you know, world-renowned Sabbath school teacher taught you? No. No one knows their name. The other person, whoever it was, who was it? Just probably some unknown. And that was the instrument. They were breadcorn. They were ordinary people bringing the Word of God in an ordinary way with extraordinary results. And we don't value that. And I think that's a problem. I think when we don't value it, we're in danger of having it taken from us. I'm always scared of that. You start to minimize the value of the ordinary things that God gives, and He may take it away. I will never forget. It was the most unusual thing. It was January 2018, and our first visa to Canada was about to expire. We had sent in a renewal of it, so we had been given 3 years initially on entry, and we had applied for renewal. And one Sunday afternoon on January, after the morning service, I have this email in, renewal denied. And that meant that really, technically, I had to leave the next day, like get out of the country. You're not allowed to be in Canada anymore. So that was kind of panic stations. Like, oh dear. And so there was a lot of phone calls and reading and research, and we managed to get it all sorted. We do what they call flagpoling. Okay, flagpoling is when you kind of go down into the States and you believe to go around the flag and come back in again, as long as you have all the paperwork that you need. So I'm not explaining the details. But in the evening service, at the prayer meeting before the evening service, I told the people, I said, we've just hit a snag here. And technically speaking, by tomorrow, we're no longer allowed to be in Canada. We need to get this resolved this week. Please be in prayer. One of the men in the church prayed that night in a way that I will never forget. God enable me, I will never forget. Lord, please forgive us if we have not valued our preacher. And he went on this line. If we have not valued our preacher and you're taking him away from us, please forgive. And he went along praying that way. Dead scared that God was taking me away because of their lack of appreciation of the Word. It was quite a sobering thing to sit and hear someone pray that way. And I think there's truth in it. If we do not appreciate the ordinary things that God has given, we devalue them, and we don't see that these are the very saving things. You know? What's so special about reading the Bible with our children every day? What's so special about me preaching? What's so special about Mr. Farr and all the other Sabbath school teachers? There's nothing special in it, but it's saving. God has appointed it to save. Ordinary breadcorn. Most of the elect are helped to Christ through ordinary means, ordinary people. The ordinary is also satisfying. It is satisfying. I'm sure that you can enjoy honey and nuts and almonds for a while, but eventually that will just not do. And you'll not be satisfied by that. And so you're craving the ordinary. It's that that satisfies. To the ordinary. Really. That's what we need. We need the breadcorn. And so there's a similar application there. You know, like, okay, wouldn't it be wonderful to sit under the ministry of the greatest preacher in the world? I'm sure it would. I wouldn't deny it from you, just as I wouldn't deny it from me if I was in your position. Who's the greatest preacher in the world? The problem is, if there's a way of measuring that, the greatest preacher in the world, extant right now, there's only one. There's only one. And he can't preach to the whole world. So God hasn't had it that everyone gets to enjoy the greatest preacher in the world. And the simple fact is, He wants us not to be looking at the greatest in terms of man. Isn't it his purpose to use the weak, that there's not many mighty? Like, he could orchestrate it so that there are many mighty. And there have been certain seasons in the church where it certainly looks like there were more mighty existing in that season for God's purposes. But the vast history of the church, it has existed and it has advanced and thrived, despite the fact that it is cumbered with very ordinary preachers. Ordinary preachers. And yet, God's people are to be satisfied as they bring their relatively ordinary messages. I remember I watched the video at the retirement of Dr. Cairns. Remember when I first got here, it was shared with me. Maybe you'd like to look at this. And I watched through the video of the retirement of the Cairnses. And I will never forget one of the remarks that was made in that video, when one individual said it was like a conference every weekend. You know, like conference messages every single Lord's Day. And I thought, yep, that's true. It was true. It was the best fruits. It was. But I'm glad you don't need, in fact, God would appoint it that you don't depend on the best fruits. You actually learn to value the corn, the ordinary. He said, that satisfies. He said, this is worked out in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, is it? Because there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. And there's no natural appeal. And so he's despised. It's not extraordinary in a certain sense. And yet when, yes, he spoke, never man spake like this man. And certain extraordinary things become very evident by his miracles and by his teaching. But that's not the case for everyone. But when he is put forth, when the corn of the gospel is given, Sunday school teachers, be encouraged. Don't try to be novel. Just put the corn of Christ, right? The bread of God. The manna, yes, that the Israelites despised. They longed to go back to the garlics and leeks and so on of Egypt. But the Lord had appointed manna to satisfy them. And it was sufficient. Furnished a table in the wilderness for them. And it was all that they needed. So, the last thing then is the ordinary is special. Obviously then it's special. It's more special than we realize. That's the thing. The ordinary is special. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels. Take all of that. But they're the best fruits, but they're not. It's the best that we can give. And they have certain dainties and they can be valued. They're spices and they have their value. And maybe in an ordinary marketplace, they have far greater value than corn. But in a famine, it's the corn that multiplies in price. And this is the thing. Men will give, as they did in Egypt, they gave their lands, they gave everything they had just to have corn. The gold, you can have gold. Don't care about gold and silver because you can't eat it. Don't care about the lands because they're not helping us any at the present time. Just give us the corn. We'll sacrifice everything for corn. And that's where our hearts have to be, to come to. We shouldn't need a famine to realize we just need Christ. Shouldn't need it. But sometimes when we don't value him, he brings us into a famine. He strips us of other things. Oh, bye-bye to that, bye-bye to that. People, jobs, security, these things, they begin to go so that we get our eyes on the one thing, Christ. If we have Christ, the bread corn, the manna, we truly have all. And that's where he brings us to. This is a desire I have for us this year. I don't know you know, will this be an unusual year? Will it be another lockdown style, something or other? Some global catastrophe? I have no idea. But I know this. I know that the Lord would have you value Christ. Every day, as plain as you see Him in the Scriptures, as plain as He is preached from the pulpit, that you will, yes, that's what my soul needs. So, let us pray. Pray for a change in our appetites. You know, calibrate our appetites, Lord. Get us off these, you know, in times of wealth and riches and we have all this abundant supply and we, you know, we get a taste for all the special and expensive and exotic things. And we can go on sermon audio or we can go on other places and get these, yeah, the greatest preachers as far as we assess it. Whether God sees it that way or not, it's another matter. But we can get all of that and we can get access to it all. But are we after the preacher and the content, or are we really after Christ? There are people who listen to sermons, 5, 6, 7 sermons a day. All the time are listening to sermons. They're not growing. They're not any holier. Because it's just the information. It's the tickling of the intellect. It's some other motive that they must satisfy. But it's not just this longing, give me Christ. But some soul and on some persecuted land with no internet access, no great preacher, part of a Bible, no commentary, no materials, can barely understand, but they're reading and what they read, they seek to digest and memorize, and they're in love with Christ. And they're getting holier and more Christ-like and making a difference. More than us with all of our gizmos and gadgets and money and power and stuff. So let us, in days of prosperity, value the corn, the manna that was despised of Israel, not just in Moses' day, but in Christ's day. They'd have him crucified. Such was their undervaluing of God made flesh. The Lord forbid that ever that be true of any of us. We're going to sing, then we're going to pray.